you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And I'd be remiss if we didn't do a shout out for our lovely wives. So love you, Holly.
Love you, Prem.
Love you, Rosie.
All right. Husbandry 101. We can at least say, hey, we've announced special greetings and love over the air here. Those that are familiar with our practice on Tuesday, we've been calling them Wellness Tuesdays. And I know, Dr. Painter, Jim, you're recently back from a trip to India. And I thought today maybe we'd talk about the wellness of India, why you went, what you saw and experienced, maybe some takeaways. And then Dr. Z, Alex, because you're from India, you can kind of give our listeners a little background on how they can pray for India and what is the state of affairs. How well is India? And so, Jim, why don't we just begin with you? You're freshly back. I mean, a lot of unique experiences. In fact, you were talking about going down some of the grocery aisles and
right.
noting some things and the contrast between being at an orphanage
right.
and seeing children literally with nothing,
yeah.
eating like whole foods or mm-hmm. some very common things, to all the snack goods and obesity as you went into the greater areas of India. So give us some impressions or God sightings from your recent trip.
You know, it's really a fun adventure to go there and stay in an orphanage where they have no heat, no air, a few light bulbs, you know, and eat off of a tin pan and sleep on a mat on the floor and do that for a week. And look at those little kids that half of them have AIDS. They don't have any parents. And they're just smiley, happy kids. And I come back to this country and think people were so ticked about the smallest things.
Yeah.
And then I went to the National Institute of Nutrition. And I gave a talk to all the major scientists in the country in nutrition at this institute. And I get to see the people that have everything, you know, and have access to everything. Hyderabad, where I was, it's a city of, I don't know, 10, 20 million. I don't know how big it is, but it is the diabetes capital of India, and it is one of the major places in the world. And I wondered, how come there's the have-nots out there that just don't have enough to eat? And then you have the inner city here where people are just obese. And I went to a grocery store, and I looked at one aisle, one wall had beans, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, whole foods. And then there's seven other rows. They're just all highly processed foods out of a box. And I thought, well, this is why mm-hmm. Hyderabad, it's like what's happening in the United States. So many processed foods and so few of the whole foods we used to eat.
Now, you say Hyderabads?
Hyderabad. H-Y-D-R-O-B-A-D. Hyderabad is the name of the city.
Oh, that's the name of the city. I thought that's the name of this food, this junk food. It's very bad. It's hydro bad. It's so bad.
No.
You'll get diabetes just looking at it.
That's really cute. But no, Hyderabad is the city. Okay. It's a major city in south central India that is where the nutrition for the whole country comes from.
And maybe take us through, I think you referenced this some weeks back when you were sharing some of your testimony on going to India and actually Dr. Zechariah trying to encourage you to go there, but why this orphanage of all the places you could go, and why spend these 6 or 7 or 8 days with these kids when you travel the world, you're busy, you have a lot of irons in the fire, you just recently published your book, you're
right.
putting on seminars, you're representing a number of companies. I think you're soon to represent Chick-fil-A. Woo-hoo!
That's right, yeah.
Give me a coupon.
I'll be bringing them in. You'll have some.
But why carve out the time, and what led you to this specific ministry? I think it's arcfamilyministry.org.
Right.
Is it a family that you knew?
About 10 years ago, we gave an award for an alumni who went to Eastern Illinois, and it turned out to be the lady who runs this orphanage. Hmm. We flew them back here. We gave her an award. I found out it was a Christian ministry, and I started spreading the word about it.
Now, when you gave them an award,
It was Kailash Shinta is the lady who runs it, and her husband, Jay Raj.
Who was given the award?
the Eastern Illinois was giving an award to an alumni,
okay.
and she actually went to school there 30 years ago or
wow.
something. And so it's been quite a while. She got the award. I met her. And then I got this tug on my heart to go over there, so I went over. They sent some of their staff over here a couple of years ago, and the Lord just hit me like, this is the most important thing I can do. I need to get over there. And my wife says, what are you doing? You got things to do. I know. I fly 28 hours to get over there, hang out for a while, 28 hours back. But what I can put into those children, they remember when I was there last year, they would all bring up a quarter and say, here's my quarter. And I said, why'd you get that? It says, in God we trust. I said, you remember the verse? Yes. Mm. They remember things that I told them last year and even things that I did with them 8 years ago when I was there.
Yeah.
They still remember the guy coming with the glow sticks talking about, you know, Proverbs and Psalms 119 verse 105, thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They quote the stuff back to me 8 years after the fact. They still have some of the glow sticks that have long since burned out, they still have those things showing me their stuff. What I can put into those kids in 1 week, I get to talk to them 30 minutes in the morning and evening. They have devotions all the time. Those kids, they're like Asian kids in general. They just study all the time. The high school kids leave at 7 in the morning, get home at 7 at night. And the ones that are in grade school are there almost that long. And then when they get done with dinner, they study all night until they go to bed with a little bit of a devotion. And it's these kids are just amazing.
And this is an orphanage.
This is an orphanage.
So they come for schoolwork, and then they get a meal or two, and then stay in the evening. Do they return home, or they stay at the orphanage?
They live there, and so they leave for school. They pack up a lunch. They send them to school. They go to either the private school. There's a Catholic school. There's a public school. And then they come back at home at night. And then the other ones, there's a couple of them in college. They're going away to a college and back. And those kids are just amazing. One girl gets up at 5 a.m. and out of there by 5:30, 6 o'clock to catch a bus to get all the way across town to get to where she's going to college. And then sometimes they get home at 9 and 10 at night.
Wow.
It's just amazing the drive that these kids have to get ahead.
And I think you said this last trip, which you recently returned from, you took like this super deluxe piece of luggage that could accommodate like 80 or 100 pounds of games. And is it like stickers and knickknacks and fun things?
Anything I could get that I could relate to a Bible scripture. I had it. And so every morning.
Oh, so like props.
Little things. Every morning and evening, I had 36 of whatever I needed.
Okay.
And I gave out 36 of them with some kind of Bible verse. And so they ended up with this stuff.
How do they refer to you? Is there a special name?
They refer to anyone who's an adult as uncle. So they call me Uncle Jim.
Okay.
They just call me uncle. They don't even use the name. They just use the title.
Yeah. So they'd hold this like ruler. Now, Uncle Jim, what scripture verse goes with that? Oh, Pharaoh was a ruler, and Joseph found favor in his mind. You know, so.
It is. We come up with something that I can go back to them and say, you got that. And what did that represent?
Okay.
And it was just so funny. I had forgotten I had given them a quarter. And they all got a quarter last time, and we talked about Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and I gave them In God We Trust, and I come back, and they're showing me the quarter that they had from last year.
Well, the discipline that they held on to it and didn't spend it.
It's hard to spend a U.S. quarter over there anyway, so they couldn't really do that.
Oh, now, Dr. Zechariah, you've obviously grew up in India. And are very familiar with the land and the customs. And if somebody was going to say, hey, what's the health of India, or how can we pray for India, what would be the first things that come to mind?
First of all, I was with Jim last year. We were together, and we stayed in this ashram. Jim and I, we were in the same place for several days, 5 days, and met these kids. They're fabulous. And it is amazing what Ashram is doing. People should log on to arkministries.org.
Yeah, that's arkfamilyministry.org. arkfamilyministry.org.
And amazing, amazing. Yes, we are today the wellness of India, right?
Yes,
so something.
Yes.
Yes, I will say that in two sentences. Those who are well, they are just too well. And those who are unwell, they are too unwell. It is just two extremes.
Yeah.
And as just now Jim said, we see here unbelievable poverty in the sense hardly not enough to eat and starving to some extent. And then the other end, we see this obesity with the kids eating and adults eating the junk food and become the diabetic capital of the world because it's mostly carbohydrate. So we have got to bridge the gap.
Now, some of these extremes, is it because of the caste system? I mean, kind of educate, why are there such extremes?
Too many factors. One of them is the caste system, yeah. Officially, it's not there. The new India, the caste system is abolished, but the practice has been there for, say, 6,000 years or 4,000 years. It doesn't get rooted out in 40 years.
Can you give us a little summary for listeners that are unfamiliar? Like, some might say, what do you mean a caste system? Or can you break any of that down? Was your family a part
everybody
of history?
Is. Okay. Everybody belongs to one caste or the other. But, of course, we were, as I told you, we were St. Thomas Christians because St. Thomas the Apostle came to South India, AD 72, and established seven churches. This is according to tradition. So it sort of belonged to that. But originally we were Brahmins, or the highest caste.
Okay.
And so that's number one, is the highest priestly caste, which is the highest. And the lowest is the laborer class. And then there is still, there are four castes, but there is another caste which is no caste because they don't get qualified into any caste. They are almost subhuman.
Are they the ones called the Untouchables or something?
Untouchable, and it's called Dalits. But again, interestingly, the person who wrote the Constitution of India was a Dalit person, highly educated. Hmm. And you can see the brilliance and genius can be anywhere and everywhere. Right. Ambedkar, Baba, Dr. Ambedkar, he was London educated, and he is the one who put together India's constitution together. So he belonged to that untouchable. That means below the four caste, because wow, they are not even considered human. But officially that is out, but in the mind, to some extent, you see that being in the villages, where 70 to 80% of India still lives, this thinking is there. But in the cities, it doesn't matter which caste, where everybody is.
Right, right.
It's a melting pot.
Well, and there's, man is sinful by nature, so there's always going to be prejudice and,
yes,
you know, bias, because people always sin or make comparisons or hate for no reason whatsoever. So, Jim, when you go, you see these innocent children that are smiling, that literally have nothing. And we are talking off air how many times when youth go on these mission trips and they see these happy kids that have literally nothing, and yet they seem satisfied and content. Maybe to some degree it's ignorance that they don't know all the choices or options, but many times they are very satisfied with what they have. And many times when these students return home, I mean, they're changed because they realize they have so much and they complain about everything. But some of the children you worked with just recently, I mean, they have AIDS.
Right.
You gave one example where someone for a year had open wounds on their head and there were maggots. Or, I mean, we can't even fathom that kind of thing.
I know there was this poor little girl, and she just had, because of her AIDS, and she's not eating well, and things aren't going well, she just had open sores on her head. And when she first came, it was just full of maggots.
Yeah.
Yet they got rid of the maggots, and there were still bloody sores on her head that just wouldn't heal for a year. And so they did some surgeries. They finally got a doctor to do that, and he put chunks of skin up there, but it still wouldn't heal. And, you know, what I gave her was, we found a supplement that's a good nutrient protein amino acid supplement that actually helps build tissue. We started giving that to her, and when I came back this time, she ran up to me. She's got this beautiful head of black hair. It does have big spots on her head where there's no hair growing, but there's no wound there. And she just gave me this big hug and was so happy. And I said, last time I came in, you were limping because they took a big chunk off of your leg to put onto your head. And I said, you were really sad. And she's just smiling and beaming now. And I thought, you know, money goes so far over there. Mm-hmm. You know, we gave them, I think it was $400, pays the entire staff of a dozen and a half people or so for a week. Hmm. And you can give for a child, I think it just takes, a few dollars, that pays for everything they need, their schooling, their food, their housing, everything they need, their medication,
right,
for a month. I mean, it's just so little. And so, yeah, I encourage people to get involved, and this is a great ministry. I go over there. I've seen it. There's no graft there. I know where the money goes. They spend it so wisely. They get so much done with so little bit of money.
I think you said this is your, like, eighth year year, or you knew some of these children from 5, 6, 7 years
right.
ago?
Yeah, they knew me. The first time I went was after I had met the lady that runs it 8, 9 years ago. And still when I came, they remembered. You know, they brought up stuff, a glow stick that had burned out, you know, 8 years ago. And they still had it. And they said, remember this? Uh-huh. It makes me cry just thinking about their. Yeah. They remember stuff with nothing.
Yeah. Let me mention the website one more time. ARK, ARK, ARKFamilyMinistries.org. ARKFamilyMinistries.org. Log on. Maybe you'll have a heart for this ministry or for those in India. Maybe you have a neighbor or someone, a colleague that you work with, and you can encourage them to listen to this program or tell them that you're learning a little more about India and you want to have lunch with them. That's one of the best ways to build relationships. Just ask them about their country of origin. It's a great way of making friends with any internationals. Just take an interest in them or ask them about their family or their customs or certain things. Now, Dr. Z, what else can we learn about India as people are on the way to work, or maybe they just haven't met anyone from India or are unfamiliar with some of the needs, like maybe something that we can be praying for or something else that would be helpful for us to know?
Since we are going to cover nutrition and we have Jim as the world's expert on nutrition, so we talk about India's sort of nutrition. And that is, as we already heard, lopsided in the sense that the fast foods, and there was a time there were no fast foods in India. And now it's all over every corner. So we have problems. So we are particularly interested in introducing healthy midday meals. And 120 million students, children, get midday meals free in the government schools. So Jim, me, and with the NIN, National Institute of Nutrition, is planning to think about introducing more nutrients like soya beans and the others to make the midday meal more nutritious. But we have a long way to go. But Jim will tell you something about the food they eat in the ashram, and he took that matter with the NIN. Can we enrich that?
And so, you know, I'm at the National Institute of Nutrition, and they're talking about...
Now, this is after, for somebody who's just tuning in, you spent basically a week or so with these children
right.
on an orphanage,
right.
no minimal electricity,
right.
a couple light bulbs,
right.
no air conditioning,
right.
no heating
nothing.
System, you know, you shared your little pan, and you did your duty, and
right.
very simple, you slept on a mat,
yeah.
now you go into the city, probably a nice hotel,
yeah.
and you're a spokesperson talking about nutrition to
the main nutritionists in the country at the mm-hmm. National Institute of Nutrition and the students that are there learning. And so they're looking at making a fortified rice. And so I wrote to them and said, hey, can we get some of this rice? Can we get them involved in your research studies? Can we get that to the kids? Because one of the kids was just low in iron. Not low in iron. They were anemic. And so they came to me and said, what is that? And I said, well, it's B12, it's folate, or it's iron usually. And I'm sitting there talking to the scientists and said, we just started this fortification program with folate, B12, and iron. I said, gee, you know, I'd like to get that rice for these kids. And I talked to another professor, and he's talking about this whole grain stuff. He's got 5 different grains, this massively wonderful, nutrient-rich whole grain. And we're talking to him about, well, can we get some of that to feed to these children? Because typically in India, you have this big pile of rice as the main part of the food. Then you have dal and you have some other things with it. But it's the bulk. And so can you get the best rice possible into these kids? So we're working at that, too.
Now, are we doing that in the United States? Is that commonplace? Or is this something that India is, you know, on the cutting edge of technology to improve this hybrid rice? Or
they're actually working on it from 2 ways. They're looking at genetically making hybrids that have more of these nutrients, mm-hmm. and then they're also looking at adding them to it during processing, and then having less processed rice, because we tend to polish off all the good stuff, and then you have just plain white rice, which is generally what they're kind of used to eating now mm-hmm. after it's been mass-produced. So, yeah, there's a lot of things we can do to help them have a better diet. But really, these kids already have a diet so much better than a lot of the people in the country.
Right, right, because of the choices that they're leaning towards, the snack foods and
right.
everything being processed.
Right.
Okay, for the listener today, they're on their way to work. They're not going to be in India anytime soon. What's a takeaway for them on their eating habits or something they should be mindful of during this next week?
You know, the same thing that they have here, we have in India, and that is portions are bigger and food is highly processed. Mm. And really the goal is eat food that's less processed as best you can throughout the day. Bring your own snacks when you're going to work. And then watch the amount of food that you eat as far as the portion. And if you're going to have snack foods, have a little. When you're going to have whole foods, have more and watch portions.
I've been using that example, I don't know, probably a dozen different people about when you get that bag of Oreos, don't sit down with them on your lap.
Oh, yeah.
Already put them in Ziploc bags, put them far enough away so you have to make an effort, burn a few calories, or it's inconvenient and you want to just stay on the couch. But I've used that a number of times. And also, Dr. Zechariah, I've talked about chewing.
Yep.
Extra chews will not only make the food taste a little better, it'll take you a little longer, and your brain will suddenly say, you know, I think I'm satisfied a lot earlier than if you just gulp it down and take fewer bites.
That's correct. If you chew more, probably you eat less. We have to test it out. But the same mouthful, just mindfully chew.
Yeah, chew and mindfully.
Chew mindfully. And when you chew mindfully, it's a different experience.
Yeah, and
rather
again,
than mindless glop. You know, sort of swallowing things.
And then if you chew longer, you'll breathe more. And breathing, we learned this past week during our wellness workshop that your nose and your face is kind of like that radiator of a car. And
that
your
brain
takes so much energy and heat, and you have to cool it down through a lot of the breathing. And so the more you can breathe, the better your brain will be cooled. And you'll have to come to this Thursday's workshop and learn a little more about that. In fact, this is the second in a four-part series. It's called Enriching Activities Away from the Home. Last week, we talked about some of the things people can do in their home. But this Thursday, there's three sessions, three of the same sessions, three different times, 9 to 10 in the morning, 12:30 to 1:30. And 6 to 7 p.m., three of the same workshops, whatever time is convenient for you. Ideally, if you can go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, you can click on the wellness link and then let us know you're coming so there's enough. I know you've handed out little balls that people are using. Bring your sneakers or walking shoes because the lecture question and answer time will go about 45 minutes and then 15 minutes to close out the time with a walk around Lincoln Square here. But that's this Thursday, February 16th at Lincoln Square at the Great News Radio Studio. Dr. Zechariah will take you through tips on enriching activities away from the home. Last week, it was some of the things you can do in your home. This week, it'll be things you can do outside of the home. And then we're still working on our 8 to 10-part series of wellness workshops that'll be in the evening, kind of seminars that'll be held in later March into April with different speakers, and Jim Painter and Rosie will be a part of that. So we're working on the specific dates and topics, and so keep logging onto our website, greatnewsradio.org. We'll have updates about that in the days ahead. And don't forget to stop by arcfamilyministries.org if you want to support a Christian organization making a difference in India at an orphanage in Hyderabad, India. And find out more at arcfamilyministries.org. Well, thanks for listening on this Valentine's Day. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dr. Jim Painter, Dr. Alex Zechariah with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.